The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning. It is Wednesday, the 14th of April, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning, Bahamas, and remember, today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And when you have a moment, contact the Department of Inland Revenue and learn about their real property tax forgiveness program. The offer is valid until May 31st, 2021, and you can contact them in one of two ways. You can call them at 225-5778. That's 225-5778, and that's a toll-free number, or you can contact them at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs. That's rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs. Well, good morning, Bahamas. Like I said to you yesterday, this morning I'm going to have representatives from the Bahamas Dock and Allied Venues or Vendors Association to discuss the recent fire at Potter's Key and what we have learned about the fire since then. But before we begin the show, a couple of housekeeping notes. I am happy to have my guest co-host, Darwin Thompson.
Good morning.
In studio with me. Good morning, Darwin. It's great to see you.
Thank you, Erin, for having me.
Right? Darwin, are aliens in Grand Bahama? Was there a media in Grand Bahama? I keep hearing people talking about this thing, but I haven't seen any footage yet. Mm-hmm. Was there a media shower in Grand Bahama?
Well, I can't answer that definitively. There was definitely a media shower over the weekend. I can't say it was in Grand Bahama.
Okay.
It appears to have been over Florida, though.
Ah.
Yeah. But heard in Grand Bahama.
All right, yeah. Because if anybody has the time or the inclination, I would be getting on a boat, and I would be trying to track where that potential meteor fell.
Right.
Because if that rock or thing is still intact, mm-hmm. it could be worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. So please, if you can, tie off your boat, get your Georgie bundle, let's hit the ocean, and then tell them Erin Green sent you, and we should give her at least 5%. On another note, environmentalist groups to host the first public consultation on the Disney EIA. So if you get a chance, you didn't get a chance to tune into the first public consultation, tune in to this public consultation being organized by environmental groups. Now, on a more somber note, I would like to talk to you this morning about a black note. That's a car, one of them little QB cars, that I saw on the roads of Nassau yesterday morning. And they deserve a special mention today. You're an SD. I won't call out your full number, but it started with SN50. And I want to thank you for deliberately dropping trash along Shirley Street yesterday morning. It wasn't an accident. After the second time, we knew clearly that it wasn't an accident. And in fact, it felt like a response to us blowing our horn at you to express our displeasure that you would be littering on our good, well-paved roads. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Listen, for real, that somebody would attempt to express to you that your behavior needs to be moderated, you're going to double down and repeat said behavior? It's a lot of y'all in Nassau New, let me say that. There's a lot of y'all in Nassau specifically and New Providence generally that feel that this type of behavior is acceptable or warranted, right? If you know you, see, that's the difference between the old school Bahamian
right.
and the new school Bahamian. Mm-hmm. See, y'all don't get it. The old school Bahamian, some of them by them was crooked for real, you know. I mean, you know, rum running and people running and cocaine running and drug running and money running. Like the whole country ran on that type of running. But they were a different type of crook.
Right.
They were an honest crook. They had have integrity crook. Right? They're the type of crook that when you say to them, boss, you doing crookedness, they look at you and say, you know what? That's true. There's two things we could do now. I could leave or you could leave, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the type of conversation they would have. And now we got these type of crooks that do things like run the red light in front of you, hit your car, and then look at you and ask you why you get out your car. It was there an accident. See, it's a different type of crook. That's a lacking integrity, lacking mindfulness, lacking the ability to live amongst other people kind of crookedness, mm-hmm. right? And so to that gentleman on Shirley Street that dropped the litter out of the car unnecessarily and then turned onto the PMH compound in your well-put-together suit, as if you were a consultant going to a meeting to talk about how you could make money. We saw you. And we see all of you.
And we're exposing you.
Please stop doing that on the roads. Now, on a more pleasant note, I want to send a special shout out to Sergeant Brennan, 2829, who under the face of pressure stood strong. Boy, I was pressurizing him. I was pressurizing him. But you know what he did? He listened to my concerns. Mm-hmm. And then he listened to my concerns some more.
Right.
And then he listened to my concerns a little bit more. And then we came to a common ground. And he said, I see why you're upset.
Yeah, yeah.
And I see that you're already taking steps to work towards it. Mm-hmm. And so I want to send a shout out to Sergeant Brennan.
He deserves a good job.
For being a stellar police officer and dealing with a bad head citizen like me. But also, I would like to say, I see the shift in the driving culture already on the port. With the extra police presence there. Mm-hmm. And I just want to point this out. Our people aren't bad heads, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't need officers hiding in the bush waiting to give you a ticket when you break an infraction. When people see the police are present,
right.
they automatically moderate mm-hmm. their behavior. Mm-hmm. And this is a step in the right direction. And we need more of this.
Yes.
More police presence will result in better behavior. More moderated behavior.
Agreed.
I love it. When you see the steps being made, it may not happen as quickly as I want them to happen, but they're out there and they're happening.
Yes.
Also, very quickly, as we get to the show, I saw on the headline, the front of the Guardian today, horror of Dorian relived in inquest. Mm-hmm. And it's a very serious subject. I'm not going to make fun at all of it, although I sometimes use humor to couch serious issues. But I will say this, particularly in light of the immigration and police exercises that have been going on in Abaco, post-Dorian, with what we believe to be our migrant community. Let me say this, right? That I said it in another space. The theft and some of the criminal conduct that has taken place post-Dorian is absolutely and totally unacceptable, right? We don't endorse this type of behavior at all, mm-hmm. at all. But for the people who lived through Dorian and survived Dorian, right? To be left with nothing. To hear government officials and other public officials saying things like less than 100 people dead or missing in Dorian, knowing that there's anecdotal evidence right. and non-state documented evidence, right? So we know how the state goes about this. Well, we have no official documentation that it occurred.
Right.
We know that there's anecdotal evidence mm-hmm. that hundreds and hundreds of people are missing mm-hmm. post-Dorian and presumed dead. Mm-hmm. Hundreds and hundreds, and I would say sensitively in the thousands, right? I do not believe the state statistics at all. And so I want to say to, you know, for those people who are still in recovery post-Dorian, right? When you read stories about people who still haven't received the vouchers for reconstruction yet, over a year post the storm. Sometimes your perspective on law and order does shift, you know. When you live in a state that refuses to recognize the dead and the tremendous amount of loss, sometimes your perspective on law and order shifts. We're not condoning bad behavior. This ain't carnival time. Ain't nobody tell you be on your worst behavior. In fact, we're asking everybody to try as hard as possible to do what they know they ought to do when they know they ought to do it. But I want to say to the people of Abaco, the survivors of Dorian, and to the spirits of those that did not make it, we have not forgotten you. Mm-hmm. We have not forgotten you. Also, to the Boundaries Commission. Yes, that's a good question. I think we need fixed boundaries. But we cannot make that decision until we determine how we are going to resettle or allow people who have been displaced by storms to resettle, particularly when they had the expectation of government support for that resettlement process. Right. You see that thing? The thing y'all were trying to say about the people in Abaco? Oh, we're not sure if we'll get it sorted out before the register opens. Oh, no, 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 please, please. You will have to take a pay cut if you cannot figure out how to ensure that every citizen gets to vote where they are entitled to vote and choose to vote.
Exactly.
Pay cuts are in order. You see, y'all like to talk about how the political culture is so important. How, well, maybe we're just going to have to let people campaign and ask them to socially distance as opposed to saying, well, maybe all parties should refrain from campaigning, and we should ask the government to not use state events as opportunities to campaign. Right, leader of the opposition? That's what you meant to say. You meant to say everyone should stop campaigning, and in particular, the state should not use government events as campaigning opportunities, as opposed to demanding equal play on the politics field. Politics and political campaigning is not more important than governance. It's not more important than our safety, our health, and our security. It's as simple as that, gentlemen. See, the election could go on, you know. We could call the election. You could get all the ballots sorted out. Y'all don't have to campaign one bit. That's not the important part. The important part is us going out there and dipping our finger in the ink and voting. That's the important part. What you all have to say about it, it means nothing. You all should just, you know that we know you there. We know the PLP exists. We know the FNM exists. Just gear solicit the candidates. You do not need to campaign for the election to take place. What needs to happen is that the voters can safely go to the voting booth. But if your campaigning and your political activity makes it difficult or increases the risk of us going to vote, then you're going to have to put down the campaigning part.
Right.
It can't be politics over everything. Mm-hmm. This is not a gang. This is not gang culture. Mm-hmm. That's where you say that kind of talks. Anyway, Darwin, I got a little upset just now with the politicians.
Justly so. Justly so.
And you know why? Because the Ministry of Agriculture has not set an official tamarind price yet. You know how they set a crawfish price?
Yeah.
Every season?
Right.
And this would have crawfish out. They're not doing it for fruit. And it's almost as if they don't think that fruit is valuable. You know? Like, they don't think it's a real industry. Mm-hmm. So I want them to set a price for the thing. I also would like them to set a pound price for the conch. Since we about conservation, right? I realized that we not serious about conservation.
Right.
Because if we were, we would be doing a whole lot of other things to conserve the conch.
Yes.
Like, first of all, we would be talking about it, right? Like, did you know there are multiple edible varieties of conch? The queen conch is not the only conch you need to eat. But you know why we trend and tend to eat the queen conch mainly? Because it's tender. Mm. And us Nassau people don't know how to cook conch. See? It's us Nassau people creating policy and changing the shape of this nation with no idea where we're going. See, if we realize that other varieties of conch, although not as tender as the queen conch, are also edible, then we would be making our stew conch and our fritters and our stew fish. I mean, conch sauce and all our other conch applications with these other varieties of conch while preserving the queen conch for the conservation exercise. But people like me, it took me until I turned 42 to figure out how to make sure the conch tender in the pot. And nobody was going to tell me.
Yeah.
I had to go chief the secret from somebody. Right? So it turns out like the whole reason that conch could be dying out is because we are lazy. Mm-hmm. And although we love the conch, we haven't figured out how to preserve it yet. Right. Here's some other conch facts just before we get into our show about the Potoski fire.
Yes.
Conch eats sea moss. Mm-hmm. You know the sea moss y'all just go to the food store to buy? We just grow that in the ocean right here.
Right.
Right here.
Yeah, you see it on Goodman's Bay when you go to the beach.
Well, no, that's seaweed.
That's sea moss.
It's a sea vegetable, right?
Right.
And there are tons of different types of seaweeds.
Yeah.
Sea moss is a particular type of seaweed.
Okay.
And it grows it's like a Bahamian woman, it is very particular, right? And it needs a particular set of environment to grow in.
Sure.
It needs shallow waters, mm-hmm. a particular depth, a particular temperature of water, but lots of sun.
Right.
The right type of grass growing around it.
Okay.
It's very, very particular, like the finest Bahamian woman.
Right.
But conch eat sea moss.
Wow.
Okay. Right?
Yeah.
Sea moss give you like 192 minerals and like 97 nutrients.
Wow.
So a lot of people take sea moss as a daily supplement.
Yes.
Okay. It grows wild in our waters.
Yeah.
And conch eat it. Here's another conch fact before we get into our show. The reason we tend to, eat conch raw, watch this. Conch has this enzyme in it, mm-hmm. right? That breaks it down. Like it's like a digestive, so when it gets in your body, it's like a digestive enzyme.
Right.
It's easier for your body to break down raw conch than it is to break down cooked conch.
Mm.
So that bowl of conch, a couple of months back, I was talking about how that bowl of conch, that when it used to be $5 a bowl,
right.
was like a justice meal because two people could eat and it's like a fine dinner.
Yes.
Because
yes.
it's protein and nutrient packed.
Right.
So you don't end up hungry 2 hours, 3 hours later.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. So raw conch is easier to digest. And I guess that's why you feel so energized after you eat it because you spend less of your body's energy breaking it,
break it down.
Mm-hmm. See, if we're really serious about conserving conch, we'd talk about it. We'd make sure that people know about it and know about all the alternatives that are available. Like, whelk is a variety, is like a type of conch we could be eating. And see, the real people, not the Nassauvians, the New Providence people, they eat whelk salad all the time and curb salad all the time.
Yeah.
It's only us Nassau people that don't know what's going on. Anyway, Bahamas, thank you for joining me this morning. Let me get to these texts dead quick. Morning, Aaron. Whatever it was raining down did not come from outer space. We live in an enclosed system. There is a firmament above us, like the Bible says. Okay, cool. Can I ask, are you what they call a flat earther? Do you ascribe to the flat earth theory?
Yeah,
because as someone who doesn't ascribe to the flat earth theory, I could ascribe to the idea that there is a firmament, just not what we think it is, right? Because you got the ionosphere,
right?
Right, which is like an electric field. And some people theorize that every single species on the planet,
right?
Like there is a layer of information stored in the ionosphere for that species.
Wow.
So they say that's why ants know what to do.
Yeah.
They say ants them building colonies and mansions and thing and they have whole systems and they know what to do because they connect, right, at a subconscious level. Miss Green, morning too straight. Hello, my F&M friend. Good morning. I think this is not the time for a permanent register. We need to get closure on the people missing from Dorian. I agree. Thank you very much, Texter. That's a very important point. Good morning, Aaron, and to your guests. Conch skin don't go in conch fritters. It takes about 3 minutes to cook conch fritters, and I'm sure it takes longer to cook conch skin, so stop it. Okay, Texter, I'm going to share something with you because I'm from Nassau, and I'm sure you're from Nassau, too, and these other people don't share things with us.
Yeah.
You're supposed to make conch fritters with the conch skin. That's what these people been making conch fritters with all the time. Do you remember when conch fritters used to cost $12 for dollar?
Wow.
Darwin, you know about that?
No.
That's because you're young. people start cooking conch fritters with the white part of the conch, and now we can't have nice things.
Yeah.
Dear Texter, everybody on the family island is falling out, and they're getting ready to vote Nassau out of the Commonwealth. Okay? You cook the fritters with the skin. You burl the skin first, and you make your preparation. This much I know. Stop embarrassing us Nassau people. Another text, you are going to get in trouble with saying that Nassau people don't know nothing about conch. Dear Texter, did you hear the previous text? I sure that place, and if they wasn't in the U.S. somewhere, still holding on to their bohemianness, trying very hard.
Yeah.
But listen, I kid. That could have been anybody from anywhere in the Bahamas, because this is the extent to which we're losing our traditional food cultures.
Right?
Mm-hmm. But trust me when I tell you, the slop, the skin supposed to go in the fritters. Mm-hmm. But because they never taught us how to make it properly, and we don't know how to get the thyme and tomato and pepper flavor in the boy, we here with the little white tender bits, wasting it on fritters. People, we got to start letting Family Island Bahamians drive national narrative and policy development. Darwin, I talk up a talk. Let's get to a break, Kermit. Let me just read this thing off, and let's get to a break, and then on the other side, we're going to bring in our guests. So on the other side of this break, you can tune into the conversation on GuardianTalkRadio.com, or you can listen in on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow Channel 612. The static on channels 969 has definitely cleared up. Download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. Or you can text us on the Guardian Radio text line at 422-4796. That's powered by BTC, standard text rate supply. Or you could call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 326-4259. We'll be right back, Bahamas.
You know.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.ps. Offer ends May 31st.
For the past 33 years, Great Commission Ministries has been defending the poor and hurting, feeding the hungry, and sheltering the homeless. We invite you to support our Live to Give program and make a difference in these challenging times. Become a donor by giving a one-time annual gift or a monthly donation of $50 or $100. Call Great Commission Ministries at 325-5801 for more details. Or visit our headquarters at 237 Wolf Road. Join Live to Give today. This public service announcement is proudly sponsored by this radio station.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning, Bahamas. You're tuned into 96.9 FM, Guardian Talk Radio, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. Today is Wednesday, the 14th of April, 2021, and I have on guests with me this morning from the Bahamas Dock and Allied Vendors Association. Good morning.
Good morning, Erin. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Forgive me for my bit of a long intro. Let me introduce you guys. I have Wendy Constantine, the president of the association, Gregory Bowles, the secretary general, and Maltese Davis, the secretary of the association.
Hi.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Hello.
I love the intro. Very, very informative.
Thank you. Thank you. So let's get to this, to the fire. How many stalls were damaged in the fire?
8 stalls was damaged in total.
Mm-hmm.
6 was completely destroyed and 2 are damaged.
Absolutely. And so I thought I heard the question answered, asked and answered, but I'll ask again. Were the booths in, or were the stalls insured? Or the contents of the stalls insured?
Well, some stall vendors have the contents insured. Being able to ensure the wooden structure was the problem.
Okay.
But some persons have the contents themselves, yes.
That is insured. Awesome. Okay, very, that's very great.
But the persons that were affected in the fire did not have their contents insured.
Okay. So another question. No. Does the association or did the vendors as a group sort of create a catastrophic coverage fund, like a small ASU, like we can throw in $5 a month in case anything happens? Do you all have any function like that?
Well, no, we do not. And sad thing about it is it's even difficult to get some vendors to even pay their association fees, which is only $15 a month. So no, it's not, but we're in the process of planning some fundraisers. A lot of other union presidents and vice presidents, along with the public sector, have been reaching out to us to assist.
That is awesome that they are reaching out to assist. That is awesome. So,
the Trade Union of Congress, the Bahamas General Workers Union, they all have reached out to me to get something going so we can have fundraisers or do what is necessary.
Absolutely. So let me show you a vibe.
To try help these persons get back.
Yes. Like I say, I'm very familiar with Potter's Key Dock. I remember when...
On their feet, get their business open and up.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Still there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Okay. So has the cause of the fire been determined yet?
No, it has not. Hopefully, we will hear something today. We are meeting with the Chief Superintendent Evans today. But they have given the okay that we can start cleaning up out there. And mm-hmm. I want to thank Gerard and Ann from 360 Waste Management, who's donating dumpsters. And we're asking the general public, with any type of assistance that you can help, you can reach out to me at 429-6850. But we have persons who are coming to start helping with the cleanup process,
awesome.
Which will begin today.
Awesome. And so I'd like to say, if you are a small business, but you sell masks, right? Go and drop a box of masks or a box of gloves down to assist, you know, the volunteers that are coming down to help. So I got another question here. Are there fire hydrants on the dock or a water source for fire services? Hello?
Hi. You're breaking up a lot.
Oh, yes.
Hi.
Hi. Are there fire hydrants on the dock?
Yes, each vendor has fire hydrants in their stalls. But you must remember the time of the fire, the businesses were closed. Due to COVID, we closed at 9.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the businesses were closed.
Right. So they had fire extinguishers that wouldn't be accessed. But from the videos I saw, it seemed as if it took a long time for the fire services to respond.
Yes,
it did. They didn't even have water. They took a long time.
Right. And that's why I was asking, are there hydrants on the dock?
No, I don't think we have any hydrants on the dock.
No, there's no hydrants.
No.
There isn't any hydrants on the dock.
Wow. Okay. So I am going to now put out a formal statement that I am extremely disappointed in all the powers that be that we could be 20 years after the great straw market fire, right? Where the where the fire hydrants were not accessible or sufficient, they were not sufficient, and the fire trucks refused to put their hoses in the salt water because the trucks were new and they didn't want to damage the trucks. And we push 20 years into the future, and we have a similar situation where fresh water wasn't accessible on the dock. Does anybody know why the fire services took so long to respond?
No, that is unclear as to why they took so long to.
We really don't know.
Absolutely.
Because Paradise Island is 2 minutes away and there's a fire truck there. We don't know.
Right. Well,
we can also, I can add to say that, you know, there was a terrible storm going on at that time also. So I'm not trying to make an excuse, but just want to bring it to the attention of everyone that, you know, there was a terrible thunderstorm at that time when this fire took place. So I don't know. We have not many answers as to why it took so long in getting there. But, you know, this is what was going on at that time also.
I agree. Well, and I agree with you. It's not about casting blame. It's not about, you know, these questions aren't an attempt to embarrass the government. But, you know, I have an opportunity to speak to the Vendors Association. I'm also a small local agribusiness vendor. So I'm always, I'm always concerned about how we're growing our spaces. And so I want to ask this question. Currently, is the government open to communications with the Vendors Association and the vendors about the space and the potential to grow and expand the space? Like, do you guys have a good line of communication with them?
Yes, we do. They reached out to us on Monday, Minister Pintard, and we spoke with him. Well, nothing can be done until the investigation is completed and the cleanup process has started. But they're gathering information as to, you know, what was lost, and that it seems to be moving forward.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm a small vendor. I want to join your association. In fact, I want to be on Podeski. How can I join your association? And like, what type of vendor do I have to be? How can I join your association? And once I get in your association, what are the types of things that you all lobby for?
Okay, first off, we don't have any jurisdiction as to who comes to Podeski Dock. You have to apply for an application to the Ministry of Agriculture.
Okay.
But once you are a vendor, and first of all, the Bahamas Dock and Allied Vendors Association covers Podeski Dock, Montague, Farmers Market, and all roadside vendors. We are not just for Podeski Dock vendors.
Awesome. So now you know we're going to have a whole bunch of conversations after the day.
Yes, no problem.
Awesome.
So once you've been given the stall and you come out on Podeski Dock, you can join the association, and it's $15. Now, the association is more labor. We're registered with the Department of Labor.
Okay, great. Okay.
Exactly. Right.
Awesome. All right.
So you become a member, and it's a $15 fee, which includes your membership for the association and also the Trade Union of Congress.
Okay. And so we don't know exactly what caused the fire yet. After watching a number of eyewitness on the scene videos, I hear people saying that it's possible that it was a lightning strike. And, you know, and we know that we had a massive storm, right?
Yes.
So I'm thinking about what are the ways. So here's the question. What protocols is the association advising vendors to implement to prevent a similar incident, like a lightning strike or an isolated event, from spreading and damaging stalls in the future, right? But then I realize that you can't really answer the question until you know what the cause of the fire was, right?
Exactly.
That's correct.
Exactly.
That's correct.
Go on.
But you know what I'm hoping, that with this situation, it changes a lot of things on Podeski Dock, because First of all, there's no electricity on Port Esquy Dock and everybody uses generator.
Right.
So a lot of things probably helped with the fire because, you know, everybody has to have their generators in their stalls.
Mm-hmm.
And just to, you know, with electricity, you could have smoke detectors, you could have alarms, you could have been watching your building from when you leave. The possibilities with electricity is so far greater than without. And people must understand, you know, you hear so much negativity now going on, but people must understand what these vendors go through on a daily basis just to open their business. First of all, depending on the size of your generators will determine how much gas you need every day.
Mm-hmm.
This is just opening up your door. Then you have to purchase ice. A large bag of ice is almost $15. If you need three or four of them for your coolers, depending on beers, water, sodas, and stuff like that. So just to open their doors.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't even started work yet. It could be almost $100. So, you know, they're very resilient people, and I'm very proud of them to see how they have to operate and the type of food they put on the table. So, you know, they have a lot of challenges, and then you have to pull up conch out of the water because everything is fresh. You have to scale fish. They work hard. They're hardworking people.
Yeah.
And I'm just hoping that some changes can be made because they don't have that luxury of just flipping a switch and the light is on.
Yeah.
You know, so they work under some serious challenges, and I hope that this fire will bring change.
Well, you know, that's one of my questions. One of the reasons I stopped going to the dock is because of the generators and the loud noise. And you can't sit and talk to your friend while you're eating because of the generators. And I wondered, why at this point haven't we seen a partnership either between vendors or between the government and the vendors association to install a standalone generator that's secure away from the dining site that other vendors connect to? I have a text here I'd like to read. Good morning. The lady has no experience with fire and protection. What is needed? And let me just say that she never said that she's a fire specialist. What is needed at Port Esquy is proper infrastructure. What they need with being surrounded by salt water is a fire pump system with a main header where each stall can tap off. Install fire sprinklers. When heat is generated, the sprinkler seals burst, thus saving the extent of the structures. And so let me say thank you for that offer of a solution, a suggestion. But be easy, she never said that she was a fire specialist, and neither did I.
Yeah, so we're not here to point fingers. We understand that a lot of things should be in place, but they're not at this time.
You're right.
We are quite aware of that.
And so a part of the reason I wanted to know how I could join your association is how can I contribute my ideas for a renovation or a reshaping or a reimagining of Port Esquy? How do I get them to you?
Aaron, you did say that you are a vendor. I mean, you do have a small business.
Listen, I sell world-famous rum fingers, perfect for church prayer meeting and parliament.
Well, sweetie, we need you, your ideas, and everything to come on board. It's simple. As you are a vendor, we don't only cover Port Esquy Dock. Just come and get an application. Join us. We are a team of persons that are reaching out to explore every avenue, every idea on however we can reach out and help persons like ourselves, because we know of the challenges. We work under some very serious challenges. And, you know, of course we have to be very careful in what it is we say, because we're not pointing fingers. And of course there are other options, and, you know, we're not here to condemn, to beat down or anything, because it's us that are really in pain right now. We are hurting terribly. We've gone through a lot. And we welcome any roadside vendor, any vendor to be a part of us. Just knowing that our intent, our plans is to reach out, to come together, to be there, be our brothers and sisters keepers, to interject whatever positive things that we can do in building a better team for small businesses, you know?
Yes.
So that's what we are really about. And believe you me, with all the trials that the entire world is going through, and the Bahamas has been impacted in many ways. We just need to know that, hey, you have a shoulder that you can lean on. You have a voice that is going to stand up and speak for you. You have persons that care. We care. We concern about how things happens. And you know, it's just a
lot. And most importantly, with especially with small vendors, small businesses, and this, the nature of the business, the lack of capacity or the lack of access to capital, to money resources, that these small vendors need not help, you know. They need structure. Like the other texter said, it's not just infrastructure. They need structure. If you're spending all day toting the ice and lifting the conch, you need somebody to be able to go out and ensure that the cutlery and the plates that you're getting are eco-friendly, right? And you're meeting that requirement. You don't have the time to focus on that. You need a group like an association to every month present to you what are the new requirements from the government to operate in this space. Because I don't have the time to go to every government website and look for every requirement.
Or even the resources to be able to.
Yes, well, you know, we do that. And just like the business licensing and all of that stuff, we orchestrate, we have all of that done for you. Because we know it's hard for vendors to get around. We do it, but, you know, this is governed by the government.
Mm-hmm.
So, but as they give us any rules and regulations or stipulations, we ensure that we help the vendors to meet the requirements. Like we put in grease traps. The other day we put in tankless water heaters. So whatever is necessary, and then we did all of the stuff necessary for the COVID restrictions.
Wow.
They installed the hand sanitizing machines, put markings down and stuff. So we ensure that they meet what is required.
Absolutely. So I got a text here. It says, great show as usual. I stopped going underneath the bridge because the people there don't know how to behave. Day two ghetto. Fire hazard is the least of their worries. The people who are under the bridge ain't safe. Dear texter, I read your text because you spend the money. Let me say this. I was a gay rights activist, and I stopped going under the bridge to socialize, right? After somebody thought it was me they saw in the paper, and they really almost gone to attack me.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I said to myself? I said, you know what, Aaron? You don't need the bridge. You got other places you could hang out. Like, I wasn't going to wage a holy war on some people under the bridge because this is my country and I could be here too, and ain't nobody could run me from around here.
Because
I don't drink beer. Anyway, right? It, like, and so I want to say to people, let's refrain from this, they just ghetto underneath there.
May I interject something also, Aaron? I honestly, I mean, you know, a lot of persons has a different type of concept about their experiences under the dock. But you me, I am not. I'm a Bahamian, and I'm not going to let anybody stop me from going where. Listen, Bodiski Dock is the last authentic spot that we have that I feel every Bahamian should cherish. We have a lot of people with different mindsets, different type of behavior, but I don't feel that those people should dictate to us where we should go, where we should be, and how we should move, you know, not to enjoy or us putting ourselves in a position to say, okay, well, I'm above this. I'm not going there because
we
got a place with everybody.
We can hear you.
Sometimes we all meet in the food stores. We all go all type of other places together. Yes, you do have some persons that does not know how to behave, but I'm not going to allow those type of persons to make me have to not be
sure. That's not the point I'm making, though. One second, Godfrey. There you go.
I'm picking on the way.
Somebody needs to mute that.
Yeah, could you mute Mr. Bowles just for a second?
Yes.
It's okay. I think his child is saying, Daddy, this is important. It's life. And that's okay. So what I was sort of saying is like, hey, in the grand scheme of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not running away from Podiski Dock at all. Because I's Aaron Green, I's Bahamian, I go where I want.
Exactly.
I also recognize where I am located. And I'm not going to force myself into a space that is somebody else's familiar space, right? Like, if that's your community space, I know I could come there. And I will come there and support the vibe, whether you like me or not.
Right.
I'll go buy you conch salad if I want conch salad, whether you like me or not. But I also know if this is where these boy them is come to after work, this the spot where they is chill out and they is drink their beers. I ain't going to go crease up in the middle of them and say, dear gentlemen, this language is unacceptable and I will not have it.
Yeah.
You know, if
but you know that type of air and that type of language is everywhere. But what is so sad is, you know, Portiskey Dock is the mother to Arawaki, and for some reason we've just been left behind.
Yep, right.
I think because of the way that it is, because of the lack of a lot of infrastructure, it comes across as if it's unprofessional. But do not blame them. You go out there and sit down and listen to some of the stories about how Portiskey came about, and the, you know, we have a fort in the back. There's history on Portiskey Dock.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Haining history. I remember when I used to go there and we could look in the boat and pick out the fish that we want. And we have vendors out there, fruit vendors, that have schooled their children that are now doctors and lawyers. You know, they are not insignificant under that dock. By no means. No.
And you know, it's so cool. It's so cool because you can still actually, if you go at the right time, you can still get that, you can still choose your fish off of the boat, right? So it still has that, that like you said, authentic, past generation of authentic Bahamian experiences.
Yes, yes.
And,
so many Bahamians, because, listen to me, I understand people has class and they're saying, okay, well, the type of person that I am, I'm not going to be a part of that type of setting. And it's your choice. Yes, it is. But no matter where you go in life, you're going to find this type of behavior. And you find that even in some of the high class people, they act out when they're ready. When rum is in is out. And that's just the way it is.
Sometimes.
But we have so much to offer. I listened to Aaron earlier talking about the cow skin. And I'm like, God, you know, we need more of this. Because cow skin, there's not a better fret of butter without a cow skin. But who does that? Who takes the raw cow skin and put in a butter? You cook and you clean up that cow skin first. And then you cut it up and put it into your butter. So we have so much to teach there. We have so much rich history to learn from there. But because you choose your class that you want to be in, then, you know, you stare away from being there because somebody's cursing or somebody looks like a Jones or, hey, we're all Bahamian. And you know what? When you really go into the roots of who these people are, you'll be amazed of who they're attached to.
So,
Aaron, I think the action of Portiskey Dock is very distorted.
Oh, yes.
You know, could you imagine a generator is not supposed to be used like BPL. A generator is something that you use if you're on a construction project for several hours. But persons are being forced to use generator for 12 hours, 13 hours to run their TVs because they want to give good service. So they want to have TV, they want to have the coolers, they want to have these stuff.
And they want to ensure food quality.
Yes, they do. And so, you know, they are faced with a lot of challenges to put, to present to you. The people are coming back there because the food is good.
Exactly.
So, you know, but we have to, we can't, we have to look at it as to the reason why they're sort of left behind, almost like in some dark ages. I mean, we know how difficult it is when the power is off and we're on generator for just a couple of hours. Could you imagine? That's your day-to-day operation.
It has
and you have to function like that.
Yes.
It's very, very difficult. And, you know, people point fingers who don't know, and a lot of people, electricity,
Let me say this, guys, very quickly. That texter texted back and said, look, I apologize for saying they are ghetto. I would say they are socially inept. And I want to say to the texter, I understand the vibe. I know what you was trying to say, and we all appreciate you restating it. Right. Absolutely.
Right.
And we appreciate that.
It's important to mention also that those vendors don't deserve to lose business because of their patrons, right? We don't remove or we don't say, I don't want to go to the Ocean Club because that white guy cussed me out the other night, right? We go back because we love the experiences that we get from the place that we're going to, not the people that are there enjoying the services too.
Mm-hmm. And while you guys are on the line, the texter asks, who have the best Kong salad? Since Potoski is the mother of Arawaki, right?
Yeah.
They say Potoski or Arawaki, and then you know I got to throw in Montague.
And you got to throw in the guys at Gambier.
As the president, Montague and Potoski Dock has every stall.
I'm not going to step there. I probably might be prejudiced because right now I'm about to say to Aaron and the good gentleman that is on with us to please come down to TC's and try my gum salad and my gum fritters.
Okay.
And I'm a woman. Yeah. I'm a female and I know I can put it together. So, all their fish thing. You know that kind of way?
Yeah.
Can I add a jar?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
You guys can also come down and Archie's and have some good old Bahamians and Johnny cake or potato bread and and the boiled fish.
I got you. I often tell people the best meal in the world, right, is a bowl of Bahamian Kong salad with a slice of locally grown pear. And a wedge of locally grown ruby red grapefruit from North Andres.
Wow. And Aaron,
I can't call their name, but they're lightweight.
And Aaron, don't forget your little bit of mayonnaise and your Kong salad now.
Boy, my Grand Bahama people say hello.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's definitely Freeport thing, man.
Now, listen, guys, I got a couple more texts I got to read before we end the show. And then I want you to give us the contact information and where we can find that application form. Mm-hmm. And so here's a text. This is from the earlier show about gravity. My friend, I'm going to have to invite you on. I can't read this whole text, but I'm going to invite you on so we could talk about the flat Earth, globe Earth theory. And then goes another text says, I wasn't speaking literally when I say the lady has no experience. I'm sorry you interpreted it that way. I am also sorry I interpreted it that way. But I just wanted to make sure my guests we didn't hurt her feelings because I beg her to come on this show today. I've got another text here. Aaron, we need honest conversations. If it's not ghetto under the bridge, what is it? It's nasty under there and something needs to be done to clean it up. Government and the vendors must take pride in their surroundings and by extension attract more patrons. I bet because one of the points I wanted to make was that it ain't that some of those people there we about to blame, it ain't their fault either. What we see at the dock is essentially a dereliction of duty, which is the result of a collapsing system. Mm-hmm. We ain't blaming people.
Yes.
Systems.
Aaron, I want to add to that. Please, yes. I need to say something
yes, ma'am.
To that.
Go on.
Remember, Potoski Dock is a port. Mm-hmm. There are so many businesses underneath that dock.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel so hurt that we just have to take the blame for the entirety of the way the dock is being kept.
We have
the port there. We have all the mail boats, the freight boats. We have everything going in that port there. Mm-hmm. Yes, some of the vendors, I would say, can do. I was hoping that they could have done better with the upkeep of the structure. But that's one of the things our association reached far and beyond to do, trying to make sure that everybody stays within compliance, keep sanitized, keep the place at a good standard, you know? And so with us having all these other entities underneath that dock.
We can't blame the vendors
alone. It's not fair to us. For all the rodents or whatever is happening there.
You're right.
Because, you know, everything that goes to the islands of this Bahamas goes through those channels.
Absolutely.
You know, so we have a burden on us to have to sit down and be blamed for the way the dock is being managed.
Yes.
And it takes so much force of all these different entities of coming together to assist us.
Absolutely.
You know, and I really want to say at this time too, thank you to the Progressive Liberal Party, who was one of the first persons to reach out to us to donate to those vendors that are so distraught. And we have many persons that are doing it. Listen to me, the Bahamas needs to know that it is just so painful. Mentally fit, working under the conditions that we have to endure. And instead of blaming us, come on board and try and help us. That's all we want to do is we want to make it better. That is the last historical site that we have.
It is.
Let's join forces. The small businesses are, and I'm not being
prejudiced. I'm so sorry.
Case, but we go on.
We're running out of time. I got to go. I just want to. I just want to keep just a couple more texts here. This texter says it's the F word that keeps them from coming to Potter's Keep. Stop excusing foul language. I don't think that's a fair assessment. I hear that foul language everywhere. If Potter's Keep, oh boy, has anybody presented the government with a renovation plan yet? And it says if Potter's Keep is so historic, why don't vendors respect it and keep it clean? Why doesn't the government respect it and provide the framework and the oversight necessary to manage an international port with a tourist and a local element included? Element of your text in there, texter. Somebody said, please don't put pear and mayo and grapefruit in the conch salad one time. You guys be adventurous, texter. And then somebody says, the Potter's Key is historical. You are absolutely right. Listen, I invited you guys on to talk about the fire and the circumstances of the vendors. I'm so glad that we ventured away from that conversation. Obviously, I have to have you guys back on. I'm going to reach out to you to talk about that. But I've got to go because you know it's Lee Van Miller and Unleashed next at 11 a.m. on 96.9 FM. So thank you so much, Bahamas.
Thank you, Aaron, and the number is, again, is 429-6850.
429-8650 to
reach out. 429-6850.
429-6850. I will put it on my Facebook page and Aaron Green on the Clock's Facebook page so you can reach out to the organization to assist with all the upcoming efforts.
Thank you so much.
Sure,
have a great day.
Thank you so much. I'll make sure to join you guys.
Yeah.
Have a great day, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.